In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 10 through verse 16, Solomon, the great preacher, described the problem with earthly treasures. In verse 10, he says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Money and abundance do not truly satisfy. The abundance of having riches prevent us from having good sleep, and it often hurts the owner of these riches. And the Bible clearly tells us that riches perish through misfortune and cannot be taken with us when we die. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, that we're not to lay up our treasure on earth, but in heaven. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is likely a Hebrew idiom in which contrast is made for the sake of emphasis. It's not that it's wrong to have earthly treasures per se. There's nothing wrong with having money. It makes this world a little bit more tolerable, and we're commanded to provide for our families. But our focus is not to be upon the treasures on this earth and laying up treasure here, but it is instead to be on laying up treasure in heaven. So why should our focus be on laying up treasure in heaven? Well, also, how do we lay up a treasure in heaven? Well, in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24, Jesus is clear about this in the verses that we just read. The reasons that he gives to lay up treasure in heaven is that this treasure on earth is insecure. He clearly tells us in verses 19 through 20 that moth and rust can destroy these things because material things are perishable. Thieves can break in and steal. Material things are subject to the theft. And there is also a loss due to inflation, stock devaluation, bankruptcies, faulty investments, etc. How many watch the stock market right now with the election process taking place? It's up and down every day. But also he tells us that treasure in heaven is secure. Jesus said that our treasure in heaven is there and it's secured, and neither moth nor rust can destroy it. Because those treasures, he clearly tells us, are imperishable. And Peter would tell us the same thing in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. But Jesus said that thieves cannot break in and steal, because that treasure in heaven is one that is securely guarded. And again, Peter alludes to that in 1 Peter 3, verses 4 and 5. So Jesus is correct. Our treasure is where our heart will be. What he means by this is it's where our affections are. Our hopes, our dreams will be wherever our treasure is. If our treasure is on earth, then our hearts will experience a lot of disappointment, as things for which we have affection will decay or are one day destroyed by fire. And things in which we find our primary joy are suddenly gone through things like theft. Yet if our treasure is in heaven, Jesus says our hearts will not suffer great disappointments. He says, "For our treasure is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away when it's in heaven." Nothing can take our treasure away from us because, as Jesus said, it's reserved in heaven for you. And it's kept by the power of God through faith. So whatever happens on earth is not going to devastate us because our treasure is in heaven. And that needs to be our focus. The Hebrew writer talks about this in chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. So when these words are taken to heart and applied, it doesn't matter about the storms of this life. It doesn't matter if the stock market were to fail or you make a bad investment. these storms are not going to overwhelm us because we built our foundation upon the words of Jesus, Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. But also, we need to keep our eye good. When we understand the metaphor that's used by Jesus here, he talks about the body that it likely represents the soul or inner man. The eye likely represents the gaze of the soul or the heart of man. The word good in Greek means simple, single, uncomplicated. And the word bad in Greek means wicked or evil. In the scriptures, the expression evil eye is used to mean envious and covetous. Passages like Proverbs 23 and verse 6, Matthew 20 and verse 15, Mark 7 and verse 22. Explaining the metaphor used by Jesus, he's telling us if the heart or gaze of the soul is good, then single in its love for the things of God, then one is filled with light, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Paul alludes to that in Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 10. If the heart or gaze of the soul should be evil, that is, full of envy and covetousness, then one's soul is filled with darkness, selfishness, wickedness, and falsehood. So, there is a need for Jesus to give us this warning. To guard what goes in your eye. In other words, what you allow your eyes to dwell upon. Remember, there is such a thing as the lust of the eyes. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. And what he's referring to there is materialism, worldliness, the stuff of life. To be rich toward God is to be free from covetousness. Jesus speaks of this in Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. And he gives the warning there in verse 15 and then the conclusion to that matter in verse 21. And Paul likewise warns of the danger of materialism or covetousness. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, he gives a warning to those who desire to be rich that they will fall. He said they will fall into snares and temptations. He said into many foolish and harmful lusts. And he says, in that fall, when the rich fall, they drown in destruction and perdition. Paul also tells us in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, in the very next verse, that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's from which so many people have strayed from the faith because they're greedy, and from which some have pierced themselves with many sorrows. When we don't lay up our treasures in heaven, but instead focus our gaze upon the covetousness and the material things of this world, it's making money or stuff or materialism our master. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 24 that no one can serve two masters. A master, by definition, demands total loyalty. And we are unable to please two masters at the same time. And now that's certainly true with God. In Exodus 34 and verse 14, he demands total loyalty. But you cannot serve God and mammon too. The word mammon is Aramaic for riches. And that's evidently no different than what we see in the world today. Now we have to choose between God and mammon. When wealth is coveted and becomes the priority in our lives, it then becomes a god, a false god, an idol, if you will. Ephesians 5 and verse 5, Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul talks about this. So the choice becomes one as to whether we worship the one true God, or we devote ourselves to being idolaters following after a false god. So my encouragement, my admonition is that we choose to serve God. As Jesus would later say in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 34, to seek first the kingdom of God. Do this, and then God becomes our master. And since we cannot serve two masters, this effectively eliminates mammon or materialistic things from being our God, our idol. Now these reasons, because of these reasons, Jesus tells us why to lay up treasure in heaven. He also tells us how to lay up treasure in heaven. He tells us one way to do this is by giving to the poor. Jesus connected giving to the poor with laying up treasure on two occasions. One, when he spoke to his disciples in Luke 12, verses 32 and 33, and another time in Luke 18, verses 18 through 27, when he spoke to the rich ruler. Now, Paul also connected sharing one's wealth with laying up treasure in heaven. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. He tells us here that to be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, is how we lay up treasure in heaven. Storing up a good foundation for the time to come and to lay hold on eternal life. Giving to the poor is one way that we can lay up treasure in heaven. But also another way is that it's not that eternal life can be purchased. Salvation is by grace through faith, not works, according to Ephesians 2, verses 89 and Titus 3 and verse 5. And we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're bought back, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And as children of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are recipients of every spiritual blessing of Christ, Romans 8, 16 and 17 and Ephesians 1 and verse 3. But by giving to the poor, it helps us to lay hold on eternal life. And it does that by freeing our hearts from idolatry or covetousness, Ephesians 5 and verse 5. And it does this by reminding us when our true reward will be received, Luke 14, verses 12 through 14. So what we see here is that we're not called to asceticism. In other words, to have no pleasure in life. God, on the other hand, wants us to enjoy what we have. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, but also the great preacher in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 and 20. But yet there is a proper enjoyment that requires a heart for giving, Acts 20 and verse 35. So we are to work with our hands, not just to provide for our families, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but also for others who are in need, Ephesians 4 and verse 28. So the question then is, are we laying up treasure in heaven? Jesus told us why. Jesus and Paul also told us how. Have you given very much thought to this as to how you can be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, to store up a good foundation for the time to come and lay hold on eternal life? I want to thank you for being with us this morning. And encourage you to tune in next Sunday morning at 7:45 and 11:45 to hear a replay. But if you missed this sermon, you can pick us up on the website at churchateastside.com. We would welcome you to visit with us as we meet this morning for Bible study at 9 a.m. and then for worship at 10 a.m. And then we'll meet again this evening at 6 p.m. for another period of worship. And we also have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock each Wednesday evening. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, and you'd still like to ask me a question, look me up on Facebook. Look me up on the Church at Eastside Facebook. And feel free to ask any questions, disagreements, whatever. But if you have any disagreements, please include scripture for why you believe what you believe. That's what I try to do each Sunday morning. But again, I want to thank you for being with us and encourage you to come back and be with us next Sunday morning. Thank you.